as your companion. He can't be a God that's sitting up on the shelf. They sit him on the shelf with Dagon in the Old Testament, and the Bible says that Dagon fell off the shelf because he could not, that God could not sit with Jesus in his presence. And see, that's what we're going to have to do, is push the gods of our life off of the shelves and get real with Christ. Jesus is coming very, very soon. I got an email yesterday, and the point was made that David Rothschild, the great-great-grandson of the David Rothschild that started the banking system over in Europe. He's a young man that travels around the world talking about the green thing that Gore talks about, the global warming and all of that stuff. But the reason that this was so interesting to me was that David Rothschild, come year 2012, will be 33 years old. Now, the picture of David Rothschild, you would think that you're looking at a picture of Jesus. He looks like that. He looks just exactly like Jesus in those pictures that they draw and paint. And I had always said that I believe that these big families, that one of them wanted to be the Antichrist. They wanted that Antichrist to come from their family. And I always said that I believed that it was going to be the Rothschild family, because they're the European Jewish family, and they are the head of the whole world's financial structure, as I speak to you now. So, as I thought about that and meditated about it in my mind, I thought, you know, Jesus, the occultists all believe that year 2012 is going to be the year that their kingdom will come on this earth. Now, if you can calculate, that's only 2 years away. Jesus said, no one knows the times or the seasons. Only the Father knows. So the Rothschild families, I did say Rothschild, didn't I? Because that's who I'm talking about. Sometimes I talk about David Rockefeller over here. But no matter what the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds or Obama or the Queen of England or any of these people think, they are not in charge. The only thing that they can do is what is allowed by the Father and what fits into the prophetic schemes. And see, God looked in the periscope of time and he saw these people. I know he saw them. He said, Jesus said, perilous times shall come. And that's what we're in as I speak to you, perilous times. Some people say, well, Pat, do you think we're in the tribulation? Well, if we're not, we're certainly headed down that road, if the Lord tarries, amen? With our whole financial structure has crashed to the ground. They have stolen, actually, out of our banking systems, the government, and the feds, the bankers, $14 trillion since Obama became president. Our car manufacturers have crashed to the ground. The government owns it now. And all of the little dealers, they were on the television wailing today. They're having to shut their car sales places all over the country. and they're stuck with those cars. Nobody wants a car that they're not going to be able to get parts for. And so our country has lost 2 million jobs since Obama has taken office. And so times are very stark as I speak to you. You may not feel it yet on your life. I heard this morning on one of the news shows that gas is going to go up to $6 a gallon, which we bind up in the name of Jesus. Amen. You will join me. And so the point is that perilous times, as Jesus described it, is coming. And so what we have to do is to see the times and the seasons that we're living in and ask the Lord, Lord, let us see it as reality. Don't let us see these messages in our church as just another message. Or that isn't going to happen because it hasn't touched your life yet. You might not realize it's going to happen, but it is happening as I speak to you today. Amen? And so one of the things that the body of Christ and you as an individual must learn, you must learn this. It's one of the most important things that we can teach you is to become an intercession. Your position in the body of Christ. Your position, and why do you do it? What's the point of it? Why do you pray? Somebody said, well, I pray every night. I can't pray more than 5 minutes. Well, you see, that's because you don't practice prayer. That's because you don't have a relationship with your Lord. If you don't pray but 5 minutes a night, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. If everything is more important than Jesus, you will probably, more than likely, be left behind when He returns. Now, you don't want to be left behind because, you know, the Bible says that the tribulation period will last 7 years. And so 7 years in comparison to eternity, if you make a choice to go and run after the things of Satan and his world, that's what you're choosing, 7 years, and then it'll all be over for you. But if you make a choice and say, Jesus, forgive me for ignoring you, forgive me for not being faithful, Lord, help me in this hour of time to be faithful. And then put your hand to the plow and start thinking about your relationship with Jesus. Because He said, I'm coming back for a church without spot and without wrinkle. And He said, that church that I'm coming back will be a church that's red hot for me. I'm not coming back for dull down, dumb Christians that just give me lip service. I'm coming back for a bride that's waiting for me to return. I'm coming back for a group of people that see the disasters but know that that's just fulfillment of prophecy. And they're not worried about it, but the concern that they would have would be your family. Your brothers, your sisters, your daughters, your sons, your grandmas, your grandpas. And as you look around the structure of your individual family, honey, if you're not concerned about your family in this moment of time, you certainly are not going to be concerned about the church. You're not going to be concerned about your pastor struggling to hold it together. You're not going to be concerned about your neighborhood, the people that are going to fall into the pit of hell. You could care less. You see, you've got to get real in this hour of time. It's so important. It's so important because I know that Jesus is coming very very soon. So, if we are members and true Christians, we have to pray that God will spark our hearts, set us on fire with the Holy Ghost. This church, with the preaching of the word that it gets, should be packed out every time that we come to service. It's not. People come when they want to. Some people have reasons why they don't come. And we don't look down. If you have to work on a particular day, we know that you've got to eat. But you have to make the church your first place in your life. You have to make Jesus number one, because he's not going to sit and be number two to any one of us, including me. And I know I'm trying to rev my life up a little bit as far as the Lord is concerned. So you have to pray, God, let your anointing fall upon me. God, open up my supernatural eyes so that I can see what you're saying to me and to the church. God, my brother's out on drugs. Father, my father is in the hospital sick. They don't expect him to recover. Lord, help me. My daughter, she's out in a lifestyle of ill repute. And begin to look and see what's going on. And don't just walk around like nothing's happening. Something's happening. If it's happening in my family, it's happening in your family. Amen? We've all got miles of prayer to pray before the Lord comes. And you see, while we can, Jesus said, work while there is light. The day will come when no man will be able to work. And it's getting dark very quickly in our country. I got an email or a newsletter that said that military people in a certain place, that they took their Bibles away. They could still meet and talk about God and things, but they could not read the Bible. And then they're banning Bibles on college campuses. Our president goes to Catholic universities and have them cover the name of Jesus with a black triangle. He goes to another university, a Catholic one, where he has signed an executive order so that he can send abortion money all over the world. Our money. We don't have jobs. A lot of us don't know what's going to happen, but we got money to send it across the nations for abortion. And then, what about the Homosexual Act that's languishing up there in the Senate and the Congress? They've got a bill languishing, or they're going to press to pass as quickly as they can, that gives homosexuals superior rights than we have. If a heterosexual does something, they can get 15 years in prison. Homosexual does something, they get 1 or 2 years. You see, we don't have a constitution anymore, and we don't have a law. This is called lawlessness. This is called rebellion from the top of our government coming all the way down. And all over the country, the churches are emptying out. All over the country. And so this is a pressing end time. This is a time to examine yourselves to see if you be of the faith. Because if you say you're a Christian, and the time comes that they begin to kill Christians, you're going. There's a record somewhere in the system that says that you're a Christian. You can say that you're not. If you deny Jesus, you're going. The devil hates anyone that has ever said the name of Jesus or has the potential of believing in him because he's after souls. So it's too late to back out now. Now is the time that we must press in, and we must learn how to pray, and we must learn how to join with the great intercessor who is our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, the great intercession that we will do will make a difference in your life, and it'll make a difference in your family's life. I have gone to prayer meetings ever since I found the Lord, and that is the place, exactly the place, where I found that kept my heater hot. It's the place that got my father into heaven, my mother into heaven, all of my relatives that have gone on before me, prayed them into the kingdom. I saw Julie just came in, and she can give you that same testimony about her brothers, how she prayed all of those years for her brothers. And it was at the last moment. But the last moment is better than nothing, isn't it? So we have to learn, as a child of God, to take dominion. Dominion. What does that word mean? It means control of the situation. It means to take dominion over every situation in the spiritual realm with the authority that God gives to us. Amen? You are the only ones, as believers, that can touch the throne of God. Muslims can't touch him. Jehovah Witnesses are out. The Mormons don't make it. Christians are the only ones that have a mouth that can make a difference in the world. And we sit around with our mouths closed, and many Christians sit around and do nothing but complain, complain, complain. Oh, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Well, you see, even in tough times, we have to have that Spirit of Christ rising up on every situation in our lives, that we become overcomers, like Corrie Ten Boom. When she was in the concentration camp, she tells a story that her and her sister were in there, and fleas were jumping all over them. And she said she did everything she knew to pray those fleas away, but they hung around them the whole time. Years later, she was speaking, and there was an ex-guard that had become a Christian. And he came up to her, and he said, "I know who you are, Corrie." He said, "I used to guard you when you were in prison in the concentration camps." He said, "You know," he said, "we would go in, the German guards would go in and rape all of the women in prison, but we wouldn't come in your cell because there were too many fleas in there." And you see, in the midst of the fleas, and in the midst of being in prison, tortured, in the midst of hunger, in the midst of the worst things that you can ever imagine in your mind, her and her sister in that prison praised the Lord. You know what we would do? We would sit there and say, "But God, I've served you all of my life, and look where I am. Why am I here? Why didn't you protect me, Jesus?" No, God's got plans, and we don't know what they are. But we do know one thing, that being a martyr for Christ is the highest level of Christianity that any individual can attain. When it describes Stephen making a choice for God to give his life for Jesus, that's the only place in the New Testament where you see the word says he looked up And Jesus stood up. Jesus stood up whenever the first martyr of the church was going to give his life for the cause of Christ. American wishy-washy Christianity, friends, are not going to make it. We're like big old marshmallow puffs. And we've been through the fire, and we've been burned, but not with the fire of God. We need to begin to straighten out our Christian life and compartmentalize it into our daily life and make it the most important thing in our life. It's more important than anything else that you do. Anything. Whatever you turn that television off. Pray. Stop going to the worldly things. Pray. Start getting serious about God and He'll get serious about you. Don't you want to stand before the throne and hear Him say, "Well done, O faithful servant"? That's what I want. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And so you have to stand in what the Bible calls your priesthood. You see, as a Christian, you stand in a new position of a priesthood. You have taken the place of the Israeli priesthood, of the Sadducees, and of the Pharisees, and all of the people that ever stood in the spot of a priesthood. You stand in that position. You are the priesthood as a believer. You are the ones that carry the prayers of the unbelievers to the throne. God have mercy. I got a telephone call last night from a Navajo Indian that used to come to our meeting, and she said her brother is in intensive care and we'll pray for him after this. But you see, she got a touch of God in this church back in, I guess, the 80s. In fact, the first time that I ever saw Pastor Dennis was that woman came up to the altar. And God just slayed her, remember? Just like a thunderbolt came upon her. And it was enough that kept her going right up until today. And she hasn't been to the church in years, but she has served Jesus all of those years, you see. We need a dose of God that we can't get over. Praise the Lord. And so when the disciples came to Jesus, they didn't ask Him to teach us how to do miracles, teach us how to cast out devils. They didn't ask him to do anything but one thing: teach us, Lord, how to pray. That's what they asked, because they knew that that would be the gateway to heaven. That's the gateway to the throne of God. That's where He sits in His divine sovereign glory, waiting for your petitions to come to His throne. And the Lord God that you know, as you're hot for Jesus, is not the God that says, "Well, you know, honey, I'll answer that prayer, but I'm not going to answer that one. Oh yeah, I'll do that one." No, He answers them all. All. When you're close to the throne, the Lord hears your cries. And not only that, as you begin to be able to stand in your dominion as a Christian, your authority with the Word of God, and you speak those words out, what happens when you speak the Word of God? The devils tremble. And not only do they tremble, but they have to bow their knees to the name of Jesus. They're more afraid of you waking up then you are afraid of them. And you see, it's imperative that we begin to stand up for our faith. Our faith is going down the drain just like an eddy as I speak to you. Islam people in the White House now, working in the White House. Christian people being discriminated against on their jobs and across this nation. In the government, in the school systems, all everywhere you turn, you're afraid to speak the name of Jesus because nobody believes in him anymore. And maybe they don't believe because nobody's speaking his name. Nobody's demonstrating the power of God in their life. You see, people call me because I demonstrate the power of God in my life. People call me from all over the world because they see the anointing and the power on our website. They see those articles. They see me writing articles that could cost me my life in the days ahead. And don't think for one moment that I don't realize that, everyone that I write. Everyone. When they're making laws that if you say something bad and hurt somebody's feelings, and they've made a law like that, you say something bad and hurt somebody's feeling, you can go to prison for 15 years. So anybody that hates you or dislikes you can go and report that you said something bad to you, to them, and you'll go to prison. Is that constitutional law? No. It's lawlessness. It's people that are working in darkness. Our country has fallen in darkness, and we have to walk in the light in order to make it on through. Amen. And so the Bible says this about you. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So that's the description of a born again, spirit filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost, a Christian that's waiting for the return of Jesus, knowing that if they are overcomers, they'll make it. Amen? And so we need to begin to learn to stand up in our positions of our priesthood. We need to pray for those who are unable to pray. There are Christians even that are unable to pray. They're overwhelmed by the wiles of the world. Many of the preachers in the country have taught them playtime Christianity. And now that that time and that season's here, many of them will collapse just like dominoes. Many of them. No strength. No will. Now, the word tells us in Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." In Matthew 24:27, his disciples made a particular note of the fact that, quote, "Even the winds and the sea obey him." In Hebrews 1:3, the word says that he is upholding all things by the word of his power. So we see our Savior, who is neglected by his own people, we see our Savior is unequaled in power. We see that our Savior, glory to God, is the very one that has the answer to absolutely every problem that you have in your life. And yet, we see that our Savior is neglected by his believers. Playtime Christianity is over. I remember years ago, I told Julie, I said, Julie, the time will come that people will not be able to come through that door. And it wasn't because the church would have been packed out. It was because Jesus will not stand for the playtime Christians to enter into his house of worship anymore. You can find a seat in some of the playtime churches that are dancing in ecstasia, dancing, soaking in hypnotic prayers. Churches that are there collecting every dime that you can make. I can name you a church close by that charges its Christians or so-called Christians $350 to join the church. And then once they join the church, then they have to go off to a motel on the weekend where they separate the husbands from the wives, and that's when they brainwash them to get them hooked in so they won't leave. You see, some despicable, evil things are going on in the name of the church and in the name of Jesus. And some of these things are called bewitchments, enchantments. Some of these things are called merchandising God's people. Some of these things are called lawlessness. Some of these things are called rebellion. Some of these things are called false prophets, prophetess, and false Christians. Some of these things are big in our country as I speak to you today. People have been carefully trained in these trenches. People, the Bible says the day will come when people will not be able to stand sound doctrine. And I believe that's the time that we're in. You see, at Miracle, we cast out devils, we heal the sick, we preach the gospel, we praise the Lord. We stand. Sometimes we stand when there's no one else standing, but we stand. And God is calling you to stand. He's calling you to get real before it's too late. The Laodicean church is a fallen away church, which the whole United States and the world is in that state right now. Christian churches, lukewarm, dancing. The Bible shows that they're in church, they're giving to the poor, they're doing Christianese things. But where is Jesus? He's on the outside of those churches looking in, knocking, saying, let me in before it's too late. Open your hearts and let me in. That's what he's saying. That's the end time church. But at the same time, he says, I will have a remnant of people. I will have a church that will serve me with all of their heart. And I call them my bride. And one day, I will call them my wife. Will we miss the marriage supper of the Lamb with our God? Will we miss all the promises that we've heard about over the years? Will we continue to sit in a trance in many of these churches, hoping for a better day? And maybe if I give one more dime, maybe it'll happen for me too. Money is worthless today. The money that you get is absolutely worthless today. And they've made it so. The billionaires, the millionaires, and those that can afford to do it, many of them have already left America. They have flown to other places where they think it's saved. Oh, Pastor Pat, it couldn't happen here in America. We've been the most secure, strongest nation in the world. Yeah, and we used to be the Christian nation that everybody recognized, right? Amen. And now our president goes all around the world saying America is no longer a Christian nation. And you know what? He's right. Do you know that 85% of our black people put him in office? Christians? And the information was out there. If I know it, other people know it. That actually, he wasn't black at all. He's Arab, 80%. But they sold him as a black man. And as the comedian came into the roasting dinner the other night, and she looked at him and she said, "Oh, it's so nice to have a black man in office." Said, "But if you fail or mess up, we all gonna say, who's that white guy in office?" Well, I don't think he liked that too much. But you know, it really is the truth, because they sold him as being half black and half white. So we can claim him as well as you can claim him. But what I'm saying is, I love black people with all of my heart. I've gone all over the world and ministered to black people, mainly. In America, mainly black people have supported and come to my church. But I'm going to tell you something. I examine people according to what they believe. And now, they are discriminating against Christians. Well, I discriminate against them. And I'm going to tell you something. I will stand for Jesus until he comes. Will you? That's the question. Oh, yeah, Pastor Pat, you know I'm going to stand. Well, you see, in Hebrews 2:17, and I'm almost finished, 3:2, chapter 3 and 2, it shows Jesus as the faithful high priest that never fails. So if Christianity is failing in your life, what you have to do is examine yourselves to see if you're really a Christian. Is he really your Lord? Are you really attached to him in great fervor and zeal like Paul was? Is he your Lord? Do you see him as the Almighty God sitting at the right hand of God, waiting on you to arrive at his throne so he can make a difference in your life, so that your life will reflect his glory to those people in darkness? That's all I'm asking you today. And you know where you stand in that position. He's unchangeable in Hebrews 2:22-23 and Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And so, the choices that we're making as a church here today to really commit our lives, I mean, he knows whether it's lip service or not, and he watches your actions to see if it is. I'm going to tell you, today, you must sell out to Jesus. There's not another aisle that you can walk up. There's not another church that you can walk through. There's not another pledge that you can make. The only thing that Jesus is after from you is your heart. Are you ready to sell out? I mean, really, get a zeal for Jesus. Outside these church walls, there are people that are crying out because they're in darkness. The Bible says that there is a group of people that will live on the earth in the latter days, that they'll run up and they'll grab a hold to their coattails and they'll say, "Tell me about your God." Are you one of those people? Do they recognize that you're even a Christian? Do they know? Or do they look at you as a hypocrite? Or do they look at you and think, I don't think that person's a, they go to a church, but they don't act like a Christian. Or do they look and see that when they've got a problem, they're going to come to you and say, tell me about your God. And what are you going to tell them? What kind of testimony do you have? Are you going to tell them, oh, I know you're sick. I know you're in pain. You need to come to my house. I've got as many pills in my cabinet as you've got in yours. Or are you going to say, I serve the living Christ. He looks over me day and night. His eyes go to and throughout the world. And then they come and look at me. And he knows my heart, and I know his heart, and we are mended together. Stand to your feet.